Yelled at for running up and down the stairs. Jesus has always been a part of my life. I can't remember the exact date when I accepted Christ into my life, but I remember how. Mom was sending us to VBS, and when I was to VBS, and Grace Peterson was speaking, one of the lessons that she was speaking on was Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." She gave us a pictured demonstration to show us where we were, and we were on one side of the board, and God was on the other side. And there was a big chasm in between us, and the only way we were going to get there is through Jesus. So that night, I went home and accepted Jesus into my life. After that, I kept walking with Christ, except I had something messed up. Every time I sinned, I thought I lost Jesus in my life. So every night, I would re-accept Jesus back into my life. And that summer, when my mom sent me to Victory Bible Center, my cabin leader that year was named Trey, and he explained to me that I don't need to keep accepting Christ into my life, that Jesus will always forgive me and keep working in my life. So my faith has grown due to everybody in my life and is still growing to this day. When Pastor Andrew asked Jason and I what we wanted to preach on, I wanted to talk about jealousy, and Jace talk about humility, since that's what we gave our senior chapels on. So it would be easy, but Andrew said no. So when we decided what we were going to talk about, I thought of something that I struggle with, and I'm pretty sure I can also say Jace also struggles with this too. This morning, Jace and I are going to be talking about idols. We are first going to show a video.
I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Wow, that's so true for me. But I'll come back to that later. But first, I'm going to talk about the story of the golden calf. So please turn to Exodus 32. I will be reading verses 1 through 6. To give you some background first, God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He has been watching over them and providing for their needs. Exodus 32, 1 through 6. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are the gods, O Israel, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up to play. As you can see, God just delivered them from slavery not too long ago. Plus, he did miraculous things for them, like sending plagues against Egypt and parting the Red Sea for them. After all that, they knew the power of God, and they still fell away. It scares me to death to think about this, because they saw amazing things I will probably never see, and they still fell away. My question for you today, what is an idol do you have in your life? I mean, what do you replace God with? An idol is not just something you bow down to, but what you put before God. One of the definitions I found for an idol was a person or thing that is greater, admired, loved, or received. I struggled with worshiping idols like sports last year, and I'll explain this a little bit more. For those who don't know me or can't remember, last year, Jace wanted me to play football. Since I had never done football, I decided to try it. Well, I made it through 6 games, and a guy fell on my leg and broke it. At that moment, I felt a weird pop, and I was struggling to get up, but I got off the field. Dylan came and helped me. And that night, we went to the ER. Jace was there right before I got there because he dislocated his shoulder a couple plays, like 4 plays before that. So when we were waiting, I was scared to see if I had broken it or not. But the doctor came in and said I had. So I was on crutches for 13 weeks. I had a long time to do nothing and think, like way too long. I was starting to get mad at Jace for convincing me to try football because football seemed like it had taken everything from me. I was also mad at God because I didn't understand why he would allow this to happen to me. Except one day when I was praying to God, I realized something, and it was like a slap across the face. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one has had this happen to them. But God was showing me that I was worshiping idols instead of worshiping him. So if we are honest with ourselves, we need to think about what we put before God, and the next step is how do we overcome that, and Jace will be talking about that.
Well, okay, so Travis and I have also, so as Travis said, I have also struggled with putting things before God, and thought it was a very fitting topic for today. And you have just heard a great message from Travis about falling into idols and what idols are. But since Travis and I have always come as a 1-2 punch, with me being the knockout, here is how you repent from and work on overcoming idols. Matthew 6:19-24 is the passage I will be speaking on tonight. So please turn with me to Matthew 6:19-24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your whole So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So verse 19 starts off with saying, don't put your trust in earthly things. Money, sports, fame, friends, anything like that fades. Records, fame, friends, money, it does not last forever. It will all fade, and at the end of your life, you will end up with nothing. And if that's what you think is going to help you get to heaven, you are mistaken. A wise saying, which was probably said by Benjamin Franklin, or maybe just Andrew, he who dies with the most toys still dies. So the point of this verse, or this funny saying, is don't put your hope in earthly things and that don't mean much after you die. Then verse 20 says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because our main goal in life should be to first repent that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus lived a perfect life on earth and died as a substitution for dirty sinners like you and me, and then rose on the third day to conquer death so that we can live eternally. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9-10. But the main point is that you have to accept that gift on earth, because if you don't, you will not make it to heaven. And that is why you should not waste your life and say, well, I got time and I should. But you don't, because you don't know when your time, how long you'll be here on earth. So when you feel ready, or the Spirit leads you, contact someone in this church, either elders, deacons, pastors, or even Travis and I. And we will explain that salvation to you and why it is the main point of our time here on earth. The next main point of your life is to glorify Christ in everything you do, and to fulfill the Great Commission of going out and making disciples, which is found in Matthew 28:16-20. Next is verse 21. It says, where your treasure is, your heart will also be. And this is trying to say that whatever is most important to you, you will follow. But God wants our full hearts, because he is a jealous God. And Exodus 20:4-5 points this out very well. Exodus 20:4-5. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Furthermore, God wants us to love him as our master and savior with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As this verse in Matthew 22 states, and he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your entire mind. Next is verse 22 and 23. This passage, from how I understood it, was hinting that whatever you look at or seek after is how you will decide most of your decisions. This is like people in their career chases. Some go to college to play for playing sports, and others just for the fame. And some just go to college just to get the best job. But we as Christians really need to be trusting the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight or show you the way you should go in life. Lastly, verse 24 is stating that you cannot serve both God and money. So put your idol in the place of the word money and read that verse again. And you will realize that you cannot serve them both, however hard you try, because God wants our full hearts, not just half-hearted Christians that are living for themselves. So next I'll tell you a story of how idols have affected my life, and then I'll end with the application of this passage. Well, to start off, I, like Travis, was serving two masters. I was also putting sports before God, and here's the story of what happened. So my sophomore year, I was very much focused on getting a football scholarship to play at SDSU. I worked hard
all summer, lifting, running, throwing, going to any camp, just doing anything I could to get better at football. But the sixth game at Northwestern, I dislocated my right shoulder. After many, many months of trying to get back to 100%, to try to be able to get a scholarship, I finally came to the point where my shoulder just kept popping out, and I had to ask God to help me through it. That truly helped me seek God and put Him first after I had been running away from putting Him first in my life for a long time. It was a very eye-opening experience, eye-opening time when I finally figured out that I needed to seek and follow God with all my heart. I had to realize that I had to stop focusing on myself if I wanted to know His plans for my life. So that, all in all, really helped me to seek God. To tell you the truth, I'm not positive what He wants me to do with my life quite yet, but I know that He wants me to seek Him daily and to honor and glorify Him with my words and my deeds. And I know that He will guide me in the direction I should take in my life. So in closing, God wants your whole hearts, and He wants you to follow and seek Him in every area of your life, whether that's college plans, job searching, or figuring out what to do with your finances. God wants you to seek Him for direction. So if you have been struggling with putting anything before God, you can start over. You can ask God to forgive you, and it will be forgiven. Because God died for all sinners, not just some sins. So if you are struggling with putting something before God, confess it, and it will be forgotten. Furthermore, though, you need to seek Him daily, because as Matthew 22:37 says, God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So basically, whether you're playing a sport, working at your job, or just doing anything, we should always seek God with all our heart. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Now let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this wonderful day, and I thank you for this wonderful church and all the great people it has in it that just honor and glorify you in everything they do. I just thank you for all that you've done for us, and help us to seek you daily in everything that we do. I thank you for Pastor Andrew and what a great influence he's been on my life and the life of the youth. Thank you for this day, and amen.